Dear God, we thank you for everyone gathered here today. We thank you for the blessings given since we last met. Each small moment of joy, peace, love, and fellowship experienced among the busy messiness of our lives. We thank you for the sunshine and the beauty of your creation. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, your presence to comfort, guide, strengthen, and embolden us. We ask that you will surround us this morning with your life-changing presence. Open our hearts and minds to listen, hear, and understand your word today, and give us the courage to act on your message. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
It's been mentioned about four times already, so I'm expecting an answer. What is today? Event today that we commemorate and remember. Does anyone want to tell me what that one is? Anyone? Aldersgate, Sun, off the time, but it is very Sunday. When John Wesley, one of the founders, he didn't want to be a founder of a new church, but one of the founders of the church that we are now in terms of Methodism, had a strangely warmed heart. So with that in mind, our call to worship this morning, some words from our set psalm for today, which is Psalm 104. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things, innumerable, are there. Living things, both small and great. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. So let's welcome the Holy Spirit with a time of worship with our first hymn, Holy Spirit, we welcome you, followed by Spirit of God, unseen as the wind.
Welcome you, please. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
We now come to a time of prayer, a prayer of praise and thanksgiving, and prayers of confession. Let's pray. We bless you, Father. We bless you, Jesus, our Savior, and we bless you, Holy Spirit. Lord, you pour so many blessings upon us each and every day, so much that we forget that we take those blessings for granted. Lord, we come before you full of awe and wonder and thanksgiving for all these blessings. We thank you, Father, for you are so great and so wonderful to us. But as we come with awe and wonder and joy and the expectant hope to meet you here today, we come with hearts that are heavy. We come with hearts that are full of grief and upset, for we have fallen short of your glory. We have fallen short in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, and we have failed to act in your name, for your will. And so now we just offer our own confessions to the Lord. We truly are sorry, Lord, Forgive us for when we have fallen short of your glory, when we have failed to act on your will. And we pray the power of the Holy Spirit to fall afresh upon us all. Move in our hearts and our minds, move through us, so that we act, think, and speak your glory. Amen. Now, I know they've disappeared already, but we're going to bless them anyway. So we'll bless the youngsters who are here today. Lord, we pray blessings on our youngsters here today and all those youngsters who would normally be here, who would love to be here. We just pray through the power of the Spirit you will be with them wherever they are. Bless them and bless those who lead them and teach them. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Breath of life comes sweeping through us. There is a lot of hymns today, so much so that poor old Keith exclaimed in the week, has he left any for me to pick at the beginning of the service? So let's sing. In today's two readings, we have two feasts taking place. In the Acts reading, it is the Feast of Weeks, also called Shavuot, which commemorates the wheat harvest and the giving of the Ten Commandments and the law on Mount Sinai to Moses. It is also, of course, known as Pentecost. Pentecost, which in Greek literally means 50th. Representing the 50 days after Passover and Easter. I know it's been 50 days since Easter. In the Gospel reading, it is the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, which is celebrated in, of course, September or October, and it commemorates the 40 years of divine protection in the wilderness, in the desert, after the Israelites were freed from the slavery in Egypt. And the Feast of Tabernacles had several significant ceremonies of water, with water being taken from the pool of Siloam and taken to the temple in Jerusalem and poured onto the altar, praying for thanks for past harvests and for the rain for the new harvests, for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to bless the people of Israel. Of course, water ceremonies have strong symbolism linked to the Israelites passing through the Red Sea to freedom in Exodus 14 and, of course, passing through the River Jordan into the Promised Land in Joshua 3. So we'll now have our two readings for today. Thank you.
Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Amen. Thanks be to God.
John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Thanks be to God for his word.
Before we dive in, she sits like a bird brooding on the waters.
Of can she be captured, silence or restraint? For she is the Spirit, one with God in essence, gifted by the Saviour in eternal love, and she is the key, opening the Scriptures, enemy of apathy and heavenly dove.
So by a showing of hands, how many of you truly are impressed by what you have just heard? Not the song, the readings about the coming of the Holy Spirit. There's a few hands up. Glad to see that. How many of you have just thought, well, I've heard it so many times, it's, I don't know if I can keep going with this. So do you believe, those of you who put your hands up, that the Spirit comes like it does in Scripture to us today? There's a few people nodding. See, the Holy Spirit gifted as promised to the disciples at the Feast of Weeks and foretold by Jesus throughout the Gospels, especially found in John 14, verses 15 to 21, which in that part of the Gospel is Jesus' farewell discourse to his disciples, where he promises the Spirit of truth as a paraclete, an advocate, one who draws alongside. We also have Jesus telling of the rivers of living water that will flow from the believers' hearts in our reading from John chapter 7, verse 38. Do you believe that you individually and as a church have rivers of living water, blessings flowing from Jesus to others through you? Do you? See, Jesus is indicating that it is through believers in him that new waters, these new blessings will flow from him out through his believers like rivers to all people. This is done through the power of the Holy Spirit, which, as is told, will only happen, of course, after Jesus has been glorified. Well, he's been glorified. Of course, the events that the Scriptures are telling are of the events of the first Pentecost, and has, of course, been happening ever since, not just at Pentecost, but to every time someone proclaims Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they believe in him, in his death and resurrection. I want to tell you about an event that happened in my life. I'll not say it to say, look at me and look at wonderful things that has happened in me or how wonderful I am. I say it to tell you in the hope that you will be encouraged to go and seek the Spirit, to open your hearts to him and to his workings in your lives. I start by saying that in my years leading up to that event of 2 years ago now, I had never experienced the Holy Spirit in a way that is told in Scripture, in the likes that we have in our readings in Acts 2. But on the 10th and to the 12th of May 2024, at the Sanctuary Methodist Church in Carterton, we hosted the Life in the Spirit experience. I don't know if any of you were there or attended it, but it is hosted by the Aldersgate Renewals Ministry, and it is a series of talks, of readings in Scripture, of worship, but there is prophesying and lots of prayer. The Life in the Spirit experience is all about living in the Spirit. On Friday, the 10th of May, at the evening service which kicked it all off, it was a prayer and confession service. I went forward for prayers, and it is in this moment I opened my heart And God plumbed into the depths of my soul like he had never done before. Deep cried out to deep, spirit to spirit. God only moves where he is invited. I repented in a deeper way, in a way that I had never done before. I was broken and open and ready to receive, although I didn't realize it at the time. Not until, of course, the next day. The events started in the morning, and this was the main event, and it was a warm day, like today. It was hot. It was still. Not a breath of air or wind was blowing. And we had kept the windows and the doors to the church closed to retain the cool of the morning and the night inside the building. We didn't need to have fans on either. The singing was great and the loudest I had ever heard. It was like the hosts of heaven were singing along with us. There was 30 of us and it sounded like there was 300 of us. It was incredible. And we came to a moment in the day when the team of 12 of the Aldersgate Renewals Ministry had paired up. And they were going to offer some words in prayer. But these were going to be said to people, and if they resonated with anyone there, they asked them to come forward for prayer. And I went into this whole event with these thoughts. I was not lost, but I was in search of God's path in my life. I'd not long been an accredited preacher, and my father had passed away not long before that. And it was like I was searching, and I was in a maze, trying to find and figure out which path I was going to walk. And I went, and I heard these words spoken. Someone here is searching for God's way, for God's path in their life. They feel like they are in a maze, and this will lead to a decision in their life eventually. It was a husband and wife who were on the team. I raised my hand and stepped forward. I was taken to a quiet part of the room, and they started to pray over me. I understood the words. They were in English. I bowed my head and I opened myself up with my eyes closed. And as I did so, as the praying continued, the words of the prayer had changed. The words had gone from words I understood and knew to words that were beyond me, angelic. They were in tongues. And it was at this moment that I was struck by a gust of wind, which filled my senses. My eyes, although closed, were brilliantly bright. The sound of the rushing noise in my ears. And I opened my eyes and I swayed. And at this point, the gentleman praying over me said, "Are you okay, Carl?" And I must have looked at him in a way that seemed to indicate something that he had experienced before, because he, in realization, grabbed me. And he said, "Did you just receive the breath of God?" As he said this, I fell to the floor. I was overcome with such emotions, hard to describe, joy and sadness at the same time. It was incredible. It cleared my mind and opened me up to clarity. It has been a significant point in my life, and it has set me on the path. It removed doubt in my calling to preach. And there are elements that still need to settle in place before I make the next decision, I feel. but I know the path I am on now. I tell this to you, that although I thought that this is something that happens to others, it happens only in scriptures. I tell it to you to say and to encourage you all here that this is something you all can have too. This isn't something that happens to a few. This is open to all those who believe in him. I am also mindful that today is Aldersgate Sunday, when we remember the warming of the heart of John Wesley, when he finally understood his salvation. His heart was strangely warmed. At a service in Aldersgate Street in London with his friend Peter Boller, a Moravian, he understood his salvation in his head. But on this day in 1738, 24th of May, he knew it in his heart. He finally got what he was preaching, that there really is nothing you can say, think, or do that can separate you from the love of God. It all hinges on his, do you love him? Do you believe in Jesus, in his sacrifice, in his resurrection? And on that faith, salvation is gained. Now I ask, can any of you remember a time when the Holy Spirit moved in your life, touched your heart? I ask you to open your mind, cast it back into your memories. And if you can, just say it. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. The gifting of the Spirit and his presence and works are given to us all if we just open ourselves up and allow God into the hidden depths of our souls and repent and believe in Jesus as our Savior and love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Have you ever had something strange, coincidental happen in your life? I used to believe in coincidence, but there are no coincidences. There are only God incidents. If prayer is happening, then the Spirit is moving. The first Pentecost, there were a group of confused friends of Jesus, having witnessed his ascension, who were locked in a familiar place, the upper room. The angels at ascension in white robes effectively told the disciples to get back down the mountain and start spreading the good news of Christ. He promised them that another would come. And I suppose he knew that they would need that other to nudge them, to get them out of their comfort zone. The Spirit comes and they are transformed. They go into the world and Christ through them, the Holy Spirit at work in their lives and in their words and in their actions. The world is changed. And we are here today because of the power of the Spirit in their lives. But it is not only in the power of the Spirit flowing through those first disciples, but every subsequent generation of disciples since them. The events are not just a one-time event left to history, but the power of the Holy Spirit lives in each and every one of us. Jesus indicates this with his words to the woman at the well in John 4, verses 23 to 24. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth. In our gospel reading today, Jesus indicates that through these true believers, those rivers of living water will flow. This only happens when those who say they believe will turn to Christ, repent of their sins. And as Jesus says in verse 37 of today's reading from John, let anyone who is thirsty come to me. By us all being here this morning on this hot day, and here I am, the best you will get me, I'm afraid, in dressed up. By us all being here, I hope and pray that we are thirsty for Jesus. And I ask, if you are not, why not? I don't know about you, but I want more of Jesus every day. As we thirst for Jesus, repent of our sins, and trust and believe in him, we will receive the Holy Spirit. Now, this isn't just a little bit of Spirit for you, a little bit of Spirit for you, or a little bit of Spirit for you and for me and for you. This is the fullness of God. The fullness of God in Holy Spirit. The same Spirit who hovered over the formless, voidless waters. The same Spirit who breathed life into humanity. The same Spirit who created the universe and everything in it. The same Spirit who raised Jesus to life. This same Spirit fully lives in each and every one of you and me. Wow. You're all sat there looking at me. Are you in shock? Are you not joyed by this news? If we truly and fully believe that all of God, the Holy Spirit, lives in each and every one of us, inside you, then when Jesus says in Matthew chapter 19 and in Mark chapter 10 that with man that is impossible, but with God all things are possible. God lives in you fully. Believe it. The impossible can be possible. The impossible can be possible in him. In the power of the Holy Spirit who fully lives in each and every one of us, I ask you, in his strength, what can you, what can I, what can we do as a church? I know that as a church you are doing town chaplaincy. You have a coffee bar, you have community meals, school experiences, Man Friday, Alpha Plus, Space to Be, Dorcas, Craftivism Group, the Shoeboxes Appeal, house groups and fellowship groups, prayer groups. I'm also told that you are hoping to become a sanctuary church and to do dementia-friendly worship. You also do the ones where you had a call and a plea at the beginning. As a church and individually through the Holy Spirit, we can love all those in our community. We can love those who hate us. We can care for the uncareable. And love all people because God loves us and them no matter what. I know that through all those groups mentioned and all the works you do individually, that you are truly flowing with rivers of living waters and are a real blessing in the community in which you live. And in the Spirit, we can all become a blessing in our communities. And through us, we can think, act, and speak the good news of salvation found in Christ. I pray that we will find the path and purpose that God is calling you to us individually and as a church. That we will turn to Christ, repent of our sins, and open our hearts, our soul and our mind to his presence in our lives, to give ourselves over fully to him as he has done with us. As he did when he went to the cross. So that as a church and individually, we will bring about revival. Here and out there, in Whitney, the surrounding villages. And in so doing, through us, all bring all those that we share our lives with, that they will gain a presence and a sense of Christ, receive a blessing from those rivers of living waters that flow through you, from the Spirit that is living in each and every one of us. So let us go and overflow with joy and love with those living waters and be a blessing through our words and thoughts and actions in the lives of our friends, our families, our work colleagues, the groups, the stranger and neighbor. In the power of the Spirit and in the name of Christ and by the will of the Father, I pray that this we all will do individually and collectively. Amen. Now, before we sing our next hymn, last night, as the Lord does, I was told that if there is anyone here who would like to dedicate their lives, rededicate and recommit to Christ, that I was to give you an opportunity. So I want to do that now. So if you are willing, I ask that you just bow your heads in prayer. And as you pray, breathe in, come Holy Spirit. And whatever it is that is holding you back, just let it go to him. So breathe in, come Holy Spirit. And let go of whatever it is that is holding you back for him. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to all those here present who are willing, we offer and commit all that we are, all that we have to you and to your glory. We commit our lives to you. We recommit our lives to you, to go forth and to spread the good news of Jesus and the salvation found only in him. We pray that our lives will shine forth your glory and the love that you have for all people, no matter what. We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. We bless you. We pray. Amen. The Lord afresh on me, on you.
Oh, As we move into our time of intercession, I'd like to start with a short reflection, which you might like to close your eyes to. If you don't want to, that's absolutely fine. But I would ask you, as Carl has done, just to breathe. Just sit there and breathe in. Breathe in God's Spirit. And breathe out. And breathe in His Spirit, because He's here. On Friday morning, I walked out into the garden, and the air was full of tiny specks of thistledown, blowing wherever the breeze took them. It was completely mesmerizing in its vastness. Millions of seeds, gently but purposefully being blown in the sunshine, drifting from the fields right across the garden in one direction, on and on. And then the wind changed and they blew towards me in clouds. And then they danced upwards, spiraling, onwards and onwards for a long, long time. I sat on the bench and I watched. It made me think of the Spirit's unrelenting, empowering seed being sown across our world. Oh, that we might catch that flow. It was so beautiful to see, so soft and light and uplifting, and yet so powerful. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us all. Spirit of the living God, just as that thistledown blew, just as you touched lives on that first Pentecost, may rivers of your living water flow to us and through us and onwards, outwards, to our parched world. Yes, may your rivers of living, life-giving waters flow from within us wherever you lead, wherever we go. The psalmist writes, "Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls." Come, Holy Spirit, with that same mighty power and touch our innermost beings. We pray for our world in all its darkness and confusion. We pray for peace. You are the God who brings order out of chaos. You are the God who makes the impossible happen. You are our God. We ask in the name of Jesus for the war in Ukraine to come to an end. We ask for there to be peace in the Middle East, Israel, Iran, Gaza, Lebanon. We pray for the continent of Africa, still ravaged by civil wars, famine, and poverty, yet so often overlooked or forgotten. We pray for those places and people known only to you, God, where there is ongoing fear and pain. Lord God, giver of light and hope, your kingdom come, your will be done. We pray for your rivers of living water to flow out to leaders across the world, bringing wisdom and compassion. May minds and hearts be miraculously transformed by your love. May you provide courage and inspiration for new ways forward. We pray for people in so many countries, particularly women and children who are denied education and the right to have a voice. We think too of those we hear of in the news who are brave enough to stand up for what is right, suffering imprisonment, torture, and death. Lord Jesus, Spirit, bring your comfort, your strength, bring change. And finally, drawing closer to home, we think of Witney and its surrounding villages. Here too, in this lovely area, there is poverty and deprivation. In all walks of life, everywhere, there is anxiety, illness, loneliness, and grief. So in the quiet, we think of those known to us who are simply overwhelmed by life, who need God's love and God's comfort right now. We thank you, Father God, for the many churches in the town and the area around us. May we all work together in Christian unity. May streams of living water flow from each of us, joining together as a wide river of life, watering, flooding the area with your message of love and hope and healing. And we pray it all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And now we're going to, as we always do, pray the Lord's Prayer together. But what I would ask is that you pray it in the way that you feel most comfortable, whether it's the traditional version or the one which will be on the screen, or in your own language, wherever you're from. We have people from all over the world here. Pray it in your heart as you will. And so we say, Our Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. It's not in. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Shine, Jesus, shine. Very apt.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us, set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me, shine on me. Flow, river. search me, try me, consume all my darkness, shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine.
Go and live your lives filled to overflowing with those rivers of blessing. Go and flood the nations. Go and be the light that Christ has given you all, that lives within you all in the power of the Holy Spirit. Shine the glory of Jesus through you, and go knowing that the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, dwells within each and every one of us. Go loving all in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.